This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
GM is looking to repay you ahead of time.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It has been about 4 months since General Motors emerged from bankruptcy. And today, for the first time, we get a little glimpse inside the company's finances. Alisa Roth covers Detroit for Marketplace, and she's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is this about, an early payback?
Well, you remember that GM borrowed $6.7 billion from us, well, from the government. And today it said it would make its first payment on the loan, $1 billion, next month. And it's planning to pay back $1.25 billion until it's paid off. So it could actually end up paying the whole loan off a couple years early.
Is this because GM is beginning to actually earn money again?
I wouldn't go quite that far.
Okay.
It may just be a sign of how bad things were that this is considered good news, but GM only lost $1.2 billion during the period from early July when it got out of bankruptcy through the end of September. This is what the CEO, Fritz Henderson, was talking about at a press conference this morning.
Certainly much lower than what it has been. Certainly better than our plan going into bankruptcy, but nonetheless, it's a loss and you cannot be satisfied with it.
Okay, so a reduction of losses. How did GM do that? Are they selling a lot more cars?
They are selling more cars. Cash for Clunkers and similar programs overseas helped them to do that. And sales were actually surprisingly good last month, even without Cash for Clunkers. But this has mostly been about cutting costs. So it's through things like layoffs and plant closures.
So out of, the company's out of bankruptcy, but they are still not a public company. Did Mr. Henderson talk about that?
Yeah, the original plan was for GM to go public again sometime late next year. Last week, the chairman of the board said it's way too early to be setting a date for an IPO. And this morning, Henderson said that an IPO is a top priority, but he also declined to give a timeline for it.
Marketplace's Alisa Roth with us live. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here's a bit of related news from just a few minutes ago. Alisa mentioned GM sales. Well, car sales rebounded last month. The Commerce Department says retail sales rose more than expected. However, if you look outside of autos, for retail stores, things actually did not look as good as hoped. Okay, let's do the numbers. European stocks are up this morning, about 1% and a little bit more. Asian markets, same thing, up 1% to 2% earlier today. And you know, Wall Street's coming off another good week with stocks gaining about 2.5%. So the Dow went up 250 points or so on the week. It closed Friday at 10,270. President Obama arrived in China last night, and he had many things on his mind: climate change, global recovery, North Korea, and the value of China's currency. It's been a big issue. The White House says China's currency is undervalued, and China's getting sick of hearing it, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
Calls for China to boost its currency are not fair, so says a spokesman for the Chinese Ministry of Commerce. Beijing pegs its exchange rate to the dollar, which is falling. So according to the spokesperson, if China raised its currency, it'd be unfair. That would make Chinese goods more expensive in American stores and hurt Chinese exporters. UCLA economist Calla Weimer.
The danger of an exchange rate adjustment is that it slows down China's economic growth. And that doesn't do much good for the rest of the world.
But the IMF today said it considers the Chinese currency significantly undervalued. And it argued in Beijing that a stronger currency is necessary. That would help Chinese consumers buying imports and boost domestic demand in China. And the world needs Chinese shoppers to help replace anemic American shoppers. Patrick Bennett is a currency strategist at Societe Generale.
You know, on any reasonable metric, the currency is undervalued. The prospect for it to rise is very much the consensus opinion.
Critics want the rise sooner rather than later, though it could be months, even a year, away. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at sunguard.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
World leaders gather in Rome today for a United Nations summit on food security. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization is hoping to tackle some of the problems that led to last year's food crisis. That's when agricultural commodities, rice, wheat, corn, soybeans, hit record high prices. It triggered food riots in some parts of the world. Well, the global economy is beginning to revive, but Marketplace's Christopher Wirth tells us international food aid agencies, they're not feeling hopeful.
The economic crisis has helped to knock down food prices from their highs last year. But many agricultural experts now warn that a second food crisis could follow as the global economy begins to recover. Gwen Kripke is with Oxfam International. He says the fundamentals that led to the first food crisis, such as increased demand in Asia and a lack of agricultural investment overall, haven't changed since 2008.
We haven't changed our agricultural practices. We haven't changed how much food we consume. And in fact, it probably made things worse because many governments are instituting higher mandates for biofuels.
Going into this week's meeting, UN leaders had been hoping to secure a pledge of $44 billion in agricultural aid. But so far, Kripke says, no clear commitments on funding have been made. According to the UN, there are 1 billion hungry people in the world. I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, the late Yves Saint Laurent was a rich, famous French couturier. So you might have assumed that he dined with 18th century porcelain and he lounged on leopard print couches and gilded chairs. Well, the reality is, you were spot on. All of those items and more will be auctioned this week in France as Saint Laurent's longtime partner liquidates a couple of the homes they shared. His partner has already sold off the artwork. That was a sale of almost $500 million last winter. This is the low-end stuff, the gilded armchairs ordered by the Queen of Holland and some real budget items, bone-handled magnifying glasses, crocodile leather suitcases, and a blotter carved from an antler. This sale is only going to bring in about $6 million, they think. An official at Christie's auction house says it's quirky, but it's intimate. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.